Good morning, church. So grateful to get to speak with you here this morning. My name, as I said, is Kyle Harmon, and I am one of the associate pastors here at Pine Lake Covenant Church. And we've been in a sermon series this summer called Summer in the Psalms. So I've just been blessed to get to spend more time in the Word this summer because of this series. And how many of you have always loved the Psalms? Anybody? Yeah, hands up. I love it. So for me, growing up, the Psalms were like one of my favorite things because I had a devotional that I always read growing up, and it always had every week a single psalm to go through. And so that my favorite point was like read the passage. Sometimes the passage was in Numbers or Lamentations. I was like, ooh, tough day. But then I'd get to the Psalms and be like, yes, I can read the Psalms. And I was trying to think about the reason I love the Psalms so much, but I remember in seminary, Athanasius, I'm going to say like a very old name, Father Athanasius, one of the ancient church fathers. I think he said it best when talking about the Psalms. He said, while most of Scripture speaks to us, the Psalms speak for us. And I love that because I think that often encapsulates how I felt about the Psalms of like, when I don't have the words, there they are, right? And I think that's because as we explore Psalm 121 today, that's because there's so many different types of psalms in the book of Psalms, right? You see psalms of praise, there's psalms of thanksgiving, laments. I think we need some more laments these days, right? Amen. The church has forgotten how to lament. Everything's happy and we pretend we're happy. No, there's laments in there and that speaks for us. And wisdom literature. But the Psalms in ancient Israel were also used for very specific things, right? We have these Psalms that were led by the priests and the Levites in worship. We have Psalms that were specific festivals. And Psalm 121, like I said, we're talking about today, is what's known as a Psalm of Ascent. Psalm of Ascent. And this word ascent comes from the word in Hebrew, Allah, which means to go up. Okay? So it's a very literal meaning of Psalm of Ascent. And the first meaning of Psalm of Ascent may have been to ascend the steps of the temple, which I think is pretty cool, right? As you were ascending the steps of the temple, you'd say a Psalm of Ascent. But the other way you would say a Psalm of Ascent was if you were going on a pilgrimage. And so Psalm 121, which we're about to read, is one of these Psalms of a pilgrim's journey ascending to the hills of Jerusalem. So again, we're going up. We're either going up the temple or we're going up from the valley to the hills in the temple, which is in Jerusalem. So if you have your Bibles, would you please turn with me to Psalm 121? And here it says this, like I said, I love this psalm. I lift my eyes up to the mountains. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. The Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day nor the moon by night. The Lord will keep you from all harm. He will watch over your life. The Lord will watch over your coming and going, both now and forevermore. Would you please pray with me? So God, we do pray this right now, Lord, that you'd show us what you have for us in this psalm that has lived with your people, the Hebrew people, and with Christians, God, followers of Jesus, for thousands of years. It's been spoken about your faithfulness from generation to generation, God. I pray that you, Lord, as we believe, we declare today, your living spirit is here and still speaks through this passage. So God, I pray that you would use these words, God, in this passage, the words that I say and the words that we declare together, Lord, to continue to speak through us, to us, that we would find and follow you together. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, a couple of weeks ago, I don't know if you were here, but it's okay if you weren't. You can go look it up online. Pastor Becca, she shared this really beautiful picture of this really cute little girl. I don't know if you know who that is. I think she's the cutest girl, one of the cutest girls in the world, one of two of the cutest girls in the world. But this is my daughter, Emma. And she just praised her for, you know, being such a great little kid and being so smart and kind and joyful and wonderful. And she is. She's an amazing kid. If you've gotten to hang out with Emma, you know she's an amazing, amazing little kid. But Emma also has another little side of her that she doesn't like to show at church a lot, But she shows us her this side at home, and Emma likes to be in control, okay? Emma likes to be in control. And if you want her to do something, and you suggest, hey, Emma, maybe you should go do that thing, it's not happening. Because she didn't choose it, she didn't get to pick it, and she's not in control, right? And like I said, she's an amazing kid, but that's a little bit of who she is, right? If I say, go give Grandma a hug, Grandma's not getting a hug. That's not happening. And this isn't new for Emma. This isn't something that she just happened upon recently. This is kind of like who she's been from her very beginning, right? I don't know if you've known kids from a little age, or you have kids, and you know that they are who they are. Like, you cannot make them who you want to make them. They are who they are. And it's like, so you just watch this video. Here you go. This will show you.
Mama.
Mama.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Big girl. Emma, can you say dada?
Mama.
No, dada.
Mama. Mama.
No, not mama. Mama. Dada, you silly goose. You say dada?
Mama.
No, dada.
And like I said, this is who she is. Those were some of her first words. And that's exactly who Emma has always been. She likes to be in control. And I wanted her to say dada, and that was the last thing she was going to do. But I think this isn't rare for us, like if we're honest, right, as humans. We want to be in control. And in fact, I think she probably got this from someone you all know well. He may or may not be standing in front of you. I like to be in control. If you've been somewhere with me or been on a frisbee field or on a mission trip or something, you know Kyle likes to be in control. This is not a secret. But the reason that I share this, that Emma likes to be in control, which is not rare to humans, is that I think this is kind of the main point that I get when I read Psalm 121 and when I study it, and what I felt God was communicating for me to share, is that the Creator is in control. The Creator is in control, right? And I see this all over Psalm 121, because it starts with the psalmist, right? We go back to the verse we read. He says, I lift my eyes to the mountains. Where does my help come from? This is a question. This is a real question. This isn't just a fake question like, he already knows the answer. He's asking, where does my help come from? And as he's saying this, he's on this pilgrimage, right? This is a psalm of ascent. So he's on his way to Jerusalem. He's most likely looking up at the hills of Jerusalem, where he's not there yet. He's in the valley. And at this point, the Holy Spirit hasn't been loosed in all of creation, right? God is still, for him, residing in the temple. So he's not in the presence of God, for him, as a Hebrew. He is far off from the presence of God. But then there's this immediate answer, and the answer is what? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth. Right? For us, I think that seems simple. Oh yeah, God's everywhere. But no, not to a Hebrew person, right? God was in the temple. So this is kind of radical for the Hebrew person. And so he says, even though he's far off from the presence of the Lord in the temple, in the mountains, his help comes right now from the maker of heaven and earth. The psalmist knows that the Creator is in control. And I don't know about you, but I've actually made some of my worst mistakes in life, right, when I thought I was in control, when I thought I had it all down, and I was like, oh, yeah, I got this, totally in control of the situation. And like I said before, I think Adi and Lavi will understand this better than us, you know, when we as Americans pray for our daily bread, we've got a loaf in the pantry, a backup loaf or two in the freezer, we got the Costco pack from the freezer, right? We're praying for our daily bread, but this is purely metaphorical. And I think that gives us a sense of, oh, we've got this. We can control. We are in control. We got this. Because we're rarely faced with those circumstances that make us trust in God, that put our trust in God. Now, I don't really like it when people compare dogs to humans. Let me just say this. I know we're going to get there. People are like, what? Okay, I don't own fur babies. I do not condone that. Fur babies are not a real thing. We have dogs. We have pets. We have humans. We have real babies. But I think, my soapbox. No. But I think, it reminds me of training dogs, this idea of being in control, because I've heard from dog trainers and seen from different literature when I was training my dog that often when a dog is really unbehaved. And I'm talking about those dogs at the park that are like trying to bite everybody, snapping at everything that passes by, right? Just in everybody's face. It's because the dog thinks it's in control, right? The dog thinks that it's in charge. And somehow the person who's trained the dog has trained it in such a way that it's communicated, hey, bud, you got this. You're going to get us through this park. And it's down here. It's like, dude, you're like a 200-pound man. How am I, this 30-pound dog, going to get us through this whole park? I'm going to have to bite that woman. I'm going to have to bark at that other dog. For sure I'm going to have to snap at the kid. Like, because if I got to get you over there, right? You see what I'm saying? Like, it's problematic when the dog thinks it's in control. And in a way, right, who are we if we think we're in control when the Creator is right behind us, is with us, goes before us, as Scripture says. And our culture, it tells us this. It tells us that we are in control. And I think that's problematic. So, also, I want to say something. Saying that God is in control, that brings up some theological questions, right? I think when we say God is in control, sometimes people hear God causes everything that happens in the world, right? Some people make that connection. Okay, that is not true, okay? Just because we know that God is in control, God has the ultimate authority that exists in all the cosmos, that the end is already assured, that Jesus has already defeated death and the grave, and the enemy will be thrown into the lake of fire. We know these things, amen? Any amen today? It does not mean that God causes the terrible things that happen in the world. Okay? Let's rehearse that, church. Because the part of why I think people believe this is because well-meaning Christians for a long time have said things like, oh, you know, everything happens for a reason. No, it does not. But, you know, my friend had her little brother got ran over by a truck by a drunk driver. And she went to church and somebody said, you know what? I'm sure God did this for a reason. Mm-mm. No. Uh-uh. I rebuke that, right? That's what I do with that, because I think that the man driving that trunk had way too much to drink and was still drunk the morning he woke up. And then when he ran that red light, he ran over her little brother and he died. Okay? I don't think that was in God's plan. If it was, I guess God's ways are higher, God's thoughts are higher. But who am I to say that God did that? I'm not going to say that. And so I want to say that is bad theology. If God causes all the good and all the bad things, then humans have no free will. And we don't believe that. We believe that God gave us free will, and humans can make really bad decisions with our free will. And that's why a lot of terrible things happen in this world, I think. And this actually brings me to my first point that I want you all to get here. Just because we know that God is in control, that the Creator is in control, does not mean that we have submitted to God's authority. Right? It's a big difference there. Just because we know that God is in control of something does not mean that we've submitted to God's authority. Right? Even if I know that God's in control of a particular situation in my life, have I gone to God and submitted that particular situation to God's authority? Let's look back at the verse. It says this. It says, the Lord watches over you. The Lord is your shade at your right hand. The sun will not harm you by day, nor the moon by night. So here God promises, because it switches over right after the answer to like God speaking to us, and that God promises to be our shade, to shield us and protect us. Now, we just got back from a mission trip. Who was on that mission trip? Hands up. Got like 20 people, several of them over here. Yeah, it was an awesome trip. Amazing and life-changing. Would love to talk to you more about it. And thank you, church, again, for sending us and for praying for us. It was amazing. But one thing I always see every time I go to the Dominican Republic is that the mission teams, the gringos, right, we'll say the gringos, they will be in the 12 noon sun, just standing out there, getting completely burned, all the energy sapped out of them. Because, you know, we're from Washington, and we don't know any better. We're like, well, the sun's kind of powerful. Like, on its worst day, we get a little hot, maybe a little pink. But it's not that bad, right? But where are the Dominicans? La sombra The shade. They're like, they scatter like cockroaches, right? When the noon sun comes out and they're all just around everywhere in the shade. And you kind of learn after being there for a while, oh dang, if I don't get out of this heat, it's going to completely drain all of my energy, all of my force and strength for the day. So I got to get out of that sun and get into the shade. And this is similar to what the psalmist is saying, right? Because the psalmist is in the Middle East. Has anybody been to the Middle East? Yeah? Have you experienced noon in the Middle East? Whoo, right? That is some serious heat. And if you're not seeking out the shade, you're not going to survive. So in the same way, just because the shade is there, it doesn't mean we have to go to it, right? All the gringos in the field, they're standing in the heat getting all the energy sapped right out of them. But really, we have to submit to God's authority. The shade is not coming to us. So here when the psalmist says that God is our shade, yeah, he is. And he promises to protect us. But if we're not submitting to his authority, if we don't seek out the shade, we're not in his protection. And the second thing I want to say that I think I see in this passage is that God wants to change our perspective. Okay? He wants to change our perspective. And remember, the beginning of the psalm, we have this, the pilgrim, he's on his way to Jerusalem, and he looks at the mountains, and he asks where his help comes from. And then the answer comes, that his help comes from the Lord, the maker of heaven and earth, right? The creator's in control. But, you see, the enemy wants to bury us in our problems. He wants to blind us in our anxieties, to distract us with our circumstances, so we can't keep moving forward. Right? So we can't keep moving forward and participating in God's kingdom. And there the psalmist could get caught, right? He looks up to the hills, looking anywhere else. Where can my help come from? But the creator is in control. Our help comes from God. And so we have to fix our eyes, change our perspective, and then we can keep going in God's kingdom. It reminds me of that old hymn. I think some of you will know. I'll start singing it. You sing it with me. Turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace. Same. Woo, amen. Give yourselves a hand. That was beautiful. Amen. I love the church can sing. I love it. But it says that, right? When the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of his glory and grace, when we turn our eyes to Jesus, when we change our perspective. Right? The enemy, he wants us stuck looking at the problems, looking at the things we cannot change. But God says, shift your eyes, look up. Now this doesn't mean, what I think is interesting here, it doesn't mean our circumstances will change. Right? That's actually the incredible part here of the psalm. Do the circumstances of the psalmist change? Is the psalmist any closer to the temple? Is he closer to Jerusalem? Is he in the Holy of Holies? No. He is in the exact same place. And then he changes his perspective. And immediately he's reminded that the Creator's in control. My help comes from you, maker of heaven and earth. And he submits to God's authority, right? And then all of a sudden he starts praising God for God's faithfulness. Isn't that interesting? Like, goes from problem, shifts perspective, submits to God's authority, and ends in praise. So many of the Psalms start like that, right? They start with a problem, then they ask God for provision, and then they shift to God's praise. Because when we've submitted to God's authority, we've come under his protection, in the shade, in the shadow of his wing. And then we can continue in the kingdom praising God. So, I'll ask you a couple questions just to think through right now. Where are you focused on your own problems? Instead of lifting your eyes to the Lord, fixing your eyes on Jesus. Where does the enemy have you mired in your own issues right now? In your own circumstances? Because I think if that's where we are, and all of us, I think in some way I am, and all of us are stuck in something, right? We've all got somewhere we're stuck. But if that's where we are, that's right where the enemy wants us. Stuck, focused on ourselves, focused on our own circumstances so that we can't move forward and keep working in the kingdom, keep building the kingdom together. So God, he's inviting you to turn your eyes upon him, to shift your perspective so you can keep moving forward today. And where in your life do you need to submit to God's authority, right? Just because you know the Creator is in control doesn't mean you've actually submitted to his authority. Where do you need to recognize that you're not in control? We're not. The Creator is. To seek out the shade. Where you see the shade over there, but you've been standing out in the sun for a long time. It's been beaten down on you. You gotta go seek out the shade. This actually reminds me, again, we were coming back from the Dominican Republic just a few weeks ago, and my wife did an amazing job. She was 10 days basically by herself. Let's give her a hand. Come on. Joanna did an incredible job. And thank you, all of you who helped watch the girls too. Thank you for taking care of my family. I am forever grateful and appreciative of that. But if any of you has had or knows little kids, they like to push boundaries when things get out of order, right? Out of control. They start to push. And so the first day I got back, I get up at like 7:30 in the morning and Joanna's making breakfast for the girls and it's amazing. And, I hear her say, okay, Emma, what do you want? Do you want, I forget what it was, this or this? And I hear Emma go, I don't want that. I want waffles. And I pop out of the room and I go, excuse me? And her little eyes were like saucer. She turned around like, Dad's here. She was like, no, what have I done? And then Addie, same thing, like 15 minutes later, Addie just starts, Joanna says, okay, time for breakfast, girls. And Addie's like, I'm not ready yet. And I was like, oh, excuse me? Who are you talking to? Not your mom. Not in that tone. And so, you may notice I'm not really into this gentle parenting thing. another soapbox. So I kind of realized, I'm like, okay, we've been pushing some boundaries while Dad's been away. We got to come back. We got to reset the boundaries. So I just said, okay, girls, come on in. We're going to have a little talk before this day starts. So took them both and sat in the playroom and I sat down and just looking at them and I was like, okay, I don't know what happened when I was gone, but like, here's the deal. These are the boundaries. Mom says you get this or this. You choose between those two things. Mom says it's breakfast time. It's breakfast time. You speak to us with a respectful tone, blah, blah, blah. And I was pretty calm. Like, I was actually proud of myself. Right, Joe? Like, I asked her after. I was like, was I yelling? And she's like, no, you were very calm. And then, but as I'm saying this to my daughters, both of them they start to cry. And I'm like, oh no, I've overdone it. I've like set too much boundary. But no, what happened? They start to cry and they come and they jump in my lap and they both give me this huge hug and they go, Daddy, we missed you so much. Daddy, we love you. And I was shocked. I was like, okay, this is weird. I'm like disciplining them and they are responding with love. And I think that tells us, that tells me about our relationship with the Father, about our relationship with God, right? That we need to be submitted. We need to be changing our perspective, but we can only do that if we draw near to the Creator. And as my daughters heard boundaries and they heard rules and they heard how the house was going to be, they felt loved. Okay. We know this, but sometimes we don't feel it, right? We don't see it. And so I just want to encourage you this week to spend time with the Creator, spend time with the Father, put your trust in God instead of the things of this world. Because no matter how we want to submit to God or we want to change our perspective, the only way we're doing that is spending time with God. The only way we're doing that is spending time in His presence. So again, where are we focused on the problems around us? Where haven't we submitted to God? Where are we looking to the mountains, the hills, the things of this world to come and save us? And I want to invite the worship team back forward right now. And as we sing this last song, I want to invite us to draw near and ask God where He wants to shift our perspective, right? Where He wants us to submit to His authority. And I mean this right now. I don't just mean like, I'm not saying, oh, sometimes, saying right now, let's do this now. I just encourage you, church, take whatever posture you feel led to during this next song. We have prayer ministers. They're available to pray with you and for you if you want to talk about that area you need to submit or where you need God to change your perspective. You can go receive prayer. But I believe that the Lord wants to show us something of himself today. He wants to show us where the shade is in each one of our lives, to invite us in, to invite us to release the control. I think the burden we've been carrying that we cannot carry. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. Where's the heavy thing we're carrying right now? We know the Creator is in control. We may know that. And yet we refuse to come into the shade. Church, would you just pray with me? Lord God, we want more of your Spirit today, God. God, we know you're in control. But Lord, we know we haven't submitted our lives to you. God, would you show us right now, Lord, where we think that we're in control. Lord, where we think that we've been fooled into believing that we can manage the outcome. God, would you show us right now, Lord, where we're standing in that noonday sun and your shade says, come over here. I love you, my child, my son, my daughter. I want to set you free from that burden. God, would you show us this morning, Lord, where we're stuck looking at problems, where we're stuck looking at family circumstances, at joblessness, where we're stuck looking at finances, God, where we're stuck looking at all the things the enemy wants us to look at except for you. God, you are there. You want us to see you, to know you, to stand in your presence. Lord God, we worship you. We say you are good. Let's sing this together.